Sometimes hilarious, always hilarious. It's Keeping Up with Ken Hellenius on Mater Dei Radio.
Oh, you know it is always a good morning when we are keeping up with our good friend Ken Hellenius. He is working very hard today because he is down greeting all of the students, helping all of them get all of their stuff up to their dorm room on the fourth floor. He's going to get a workout today. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning to you.
So our students is beginning to move back into campus today.
Yes, very much. So the freshmen are arriving today. As a matter of fact, you may hear in the background screaming. There's the welcome crews from each of the residence halls are just joyful, and they're cheering every time a car pulls in. And so, and my building is right next to a women's dorm. And so there's a certain amount of shrieking and joy that is happening all day long.
Ken, is there one of the residence halls that just has the reputation that when students find out they're going to be living there, that they know they're going to have a fun year, we'll say?
Well, that's a really good question, because, you know, there are like 32 residence halls here at Notre Dame, and every year they crown a Hall of the Year, and the students really pitch in each hall to, you know, do events and signature things that they do. One hall sponsors a boat race called the Fisher Regatta, and on one of the lakes here. So they all have their own character and their own identity, and they're all, it's very distinctive. So I think, there are also halls that have become distinctive for maybe less than noble reasons.
I think every college campus probably has that residence hall. Now, the other thing that is getting ready here at Notre Dame, college football is going to begin soon. How is the Fighting Irish looking this year?
Well, I just saw that they announced the quarterback. So things are exciting. It's going to be a great year. I know our own office is going to be doing a tailgate. And so we're pretty excited about the season. I think the biggest challenge this year, coming off of the, you know, playing in the national championship game, is that tickets are really difficult to get.
Oh,
so that's a good sign.
That is very much a good sign. Well, we hope for all of the students that are going back to colleges across the country a very blessed and joyful year. Be smart, learn great things, and have a great time doing it. Ken Hellenius is joining us today because we actually have a very important feast day, a beautiful feast day when you think about it. It is the Queenship of our Blessed Virgin Mary. Ken, why do we have this knowledge or this title for Mary? Because I can't think of anywhere in Scripture where it says Mary is to be called the Queen of Heaven.
Right. So there is a scriptural basis for this. Certainly, we point to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 1. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Mm. And, you know, we know that in a footnote in the New American Bible, the Bible that we use in our worship, it says that the woman adorned with the sun, the moon, and the stars symbolizes God's people in the Old and New Testament. The Israel of old gave birth to the Messiah and then became the new Israel, the church, which suffers persecution by the dragon. We read this as Our Lady because she gives birth to our Messiah. She gives birth to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this particular feast, which was formally instituted in 1954 by Pope Pius XII, is the culmination of a long history in the Catholic Church of honoring Our Lady as Queen of Heaven. Pope Pius XII mentioned in his encyclical, which was called Ad Caeli Reginam, or To the Queen of Heaven, he said that from the earliest ages of the Catholic Church, the Christian people, whether in time of triumph or more especially in times of crisis, has addressed prayers of petition and hymns of praise and veneration to the Queen of Heaven. And never has that hope wavered, in which they placed in the mother of the divine King, Jesus Christ. nor has that faith ever failed, by which they are taught that Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, reigns with a mother's solicitude over the entire world, just as she is crowned in heavenly blessedness with the glory of a queen. You know, and if you think about it, we pray the rosary, and the last of the glorious mysteries is the coronation of Our Lady as Queen of Heaven and Earth. So these mysteries of the rosary, you know, of course, we think of Mary giving the rosary to St. Dominic in the 13th century. So we've been praying this for 700-800 years as part of our regular, you know, devotion. So this is something that the Christian people have long held in our heart. And it was in 1954 that Pope Pius XII raised it to a feast on the calendar. We celebrate, you know, today is the octave day of the Assumption of Our Lady. So just 8 days ago, Friday last, we celebrated the solemnity of the Assumption. At the end of her earthly life, the Blessed Virgin Mary was raised to heaven, body and soul. And here on the eighth day, the octave, which, you know, in our kind of our Catholic liturgical life, the eighth day symbolizes the first day of the new creation. It's the completion of creation and the beginning of the new creation. On this day, the octave day, we honor Our Lady as being crowned as Queen of Heaven and Earth, becoming that image from the Book of Revelation, the woman being having on her head a crown of 12 stars. So that's a little bit about kind of, you know, where we come from on this feast.
I love that Ken Hellenius joining us this morning to talk a little bit more about this beautiful feast day. So Ken, you know, in ancient history, there was a special role, an important role that the mother of the king served. And Mary kind of takes on this role that we understand, if we can associate what we know about that on earth, that she does have an important role to play. It's not just an honorary title, but being the mother of the king, or King of Kings, she's got some work that she does for us.
Yes, you know, very much. So, of course, the Archangel Gabriel at the Annunciation told Mary that her son would inherit the kingdom of his father David. And so Jesus truly is the king. Right? He's the ultimate king of Israel, for whom all of Israel had been waiting. You are referencing there the idea of the queen mother. The queen mother, who was literally the mother of the queen, was his chief advisor. She would stand next to him in the throne room and provide advice and be a counsel for the king. And so when we know that Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his Blessed Mother is there by his side, providing counsel, but also, you know, being present at his judgment. Think about that great image of the Last Judgment painted by Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel, which is on the altar wall. It has, you know, Jesus in the center on his throne, ready to hand down the final judgment, and Mary is standing next to him. You know, and she has a bit of a wistful look because she knows this is the culmination of all creation. Mary is that queen mother who provides a mother's solace to all of her children. And that's us. When we, who are the, you know, sons and daughters of the church, we are sons and daughters of Our Lady because she is the woman through whom our divine Savior was born. And so that's really what Pope Pius XII in his encyclical kind of focuses on, is that it's Mary who is the mother of our Savior. And through that, she's associated with his divine work of redemption. And so that's why we honor her and we recognize her as kind of a foretaste of what we ourselves will receive as well. We too will be crowned with glory in heaven at the end of time as members of the body of Christ. And Mary is the, you know, the preeminent creation after Christ. Mary is the one who is, you know, kind of blazing the way. She was assumed body and soul in heaven. She is now crowned with glory. Someday we too shall be upon our death and resurrection.
Oh, well, Ken, it is a lot of information. Thank you for sharing all of that. Let us all kind of straighten our crowns today, too, because we honor Mary through our own lives. Thanks so much for being with us today, and bless you and all of your students there at Notre Dame University. God bless you, Ken.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.